This PrivCap podcast is sponsored by Alter Domus, a leading provider of integrated solutions for the alternative investment industry.
Hello and welcome to a PrivCap podcast. I'm David Snow, a partner at PrivCap Media. And today we're joined by Todd Bright of Partners Group. Todd, welcome to the PrivCap podcast today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, David. Really good to be with you.
It's becoming obvious that data centers, server farms are permanent features of our societies, are necessary and are going to become more and more important as time goes by. But they require a lot. They require a lot of energy. They require a lot of water. All of those things sound like infrastructure, basically. So, you know, talk about what these centers are, what they need, and, you know, what opportunities they spell for investors like you.
They're utility plants. That's what they are. They're providing the enclosure and the redundant utilities, both electricity and cooling, for the servers. And there's a lot of capital in that. There's a lot of capital also in the servers. It's the tenants, if you will, of the data centers that procure the servers and install them and actually operate them within the data center as well. But what is not really part of their core business increasingly is the operation of that utility envelope that surrounds their servers. And this is redundant interconnection to the grid, redundant backup power generation, and redundant HVAC. And then you need space as well. They want redundancy across multiple data centers in different parts of the network. And as I said, some hyperscale capacity and some smaller scale edge capacity. They own some of these data centers themselves, but they don't want to put the capital into, you know, they don't want to spend the capital that it would take to entirely own the data center capacity that they need. So they've begun to really outsource that part of their business to infrastructure investors and operators. And I think that'll you know, continue to be the case. What's driving the need for this capacity and this are all the trends that we talk about: Internet of Things, constant uploading and downloading and streaming of content, and in very remote areas in some places where there's actual computing that needs to happen in centralized locations and out on the edge as well. And it is ever expanding, the need for this type of infrastructure. And then you need to connect it all. And that's where fiber comes in. Macro cell towers come in as well. The hyperscalers like Google, like Amazon, like Facebook, they install the servers, they own and operate the servers, but they do that within data centers that are essentially large, very redundant, very capital intensive utility plants with backup power, providing dual connectivity to the grid and very intensive cooling assets. To cool the air in data centers, the domain of infrastructure investors now within that part of the value chain. And we've really dug in on that thematic as well. I think what we prefer to do is build out in the white areas, the less developed parts of the network. So that could be last mile rural fiber in the US or Europe. It's long haul subsea fiber optic cables, it's macro cell towers in places like developing Asia. But there are even parts of the developed part of the world, generally speaking, like Europe and the US, that still are catching up in terms of the build out of their digital infrastructure and their broadband infrastructure. So we're densifying the networks where they already exist and building out backbone infrastructure where it doesn't exist.
I know that many of the mega technology companies like Google are trying to reduce their carbon footprint associated with the huge amounts of data centers and server farms that they own. Do you see that as an opportunity, providing power to server farms?
We do. They do want and need a decarbonization solution. Data centers, server farms, they're extremely power intensive. They consume a lot of megawatts of power, a lot of water as well. And we're looking at it from that angle as well. We have a platform called Resilient here in the US that's focused on water sustainability for small communities, but also for industrial and corporate and institutional customers, including data center operators. And carbon management in general, that's a big topic for us within the industrial sector. I think we'll talk more about that, but there's a lot of overlap between what we're doing generally in carbon management and what we're doing generally in digitization. And it comes from the need, the hyperscalers to obtain a solution for their decarbonization goals.
Briefly, why do data centers need water?
Yeah, it's cooling. There's a lot of heat given off by the servers. And so the HVAC equipment that they use uses a lot of water. Hyperscalers and data center operators, it's the case with large industrials as well, small communities, institutional customers like hospitals, they are increasingly wanting to take back control over their own water sustainability through modular solutions around wastewater treatment, wanting to be less reliant on the large centralized water utility operators. So that's really the thrust of the resilient business plan.
The term hyperscaler is an interesting one. Can you define it for us?
It's really just the sheer size as measured in power capacity of a data center. And so the hyperscale customers, the usual list of content provider and cloud service provider names out there. So Amazon, Google, Facebook, Netflix, they are having ever increasing needs for compute capability all around the world within data centers. And they're doing that to some extent in smaller scale data centers at the edge of their networks. But they also need the large backbone data center capacity more at the core and at the hubs of their networks. And that's where the hyperscale term comes in. These are data centers that can be measured in the tens or even hundreds of megawatts, costing upwards of $10 million per megawatt, very capital intensive.
Are there any technologies that could appear on the horizon that would totally disrupt the data center network or model, if you will, a way of storing and sharing data that is more efficient that would change the configuration of some of these places?
Well, servers are getting more and more efficient. They're sort of reaching a point of diminishing returns on the technology curve. As the servers get more efficient, they don't necessarily require less power and less in the way of cooling capacity. The space requirement might shrink as the servers get more efficient. The power demand for these servers is really kind of physics driven at the end of the day. And we don't see that part of the equation changing in a fundamental way. So you might see smaller enclosures, but you still need the same interconnections to the grid. You need the same backup capacity. You wouldn't see these hyperscalers building some of these data centers themselves, but also contracting with infrastructure investors on a very long-term basis for the infrastructure investors to build the new data centers.
Todd Bright from Partners Group, thanks so much for speaking with PrivCap today. I hope we can have you back in the future for another conversation.
Thank you, David.
Like what you hear on the PrivCap podcast? Visit PrivCap.com for more thought leadership interviews, articles, reports, webinars, and more.